Good morning. Happy 2014. A brand new year. What does that mean? We imbue this time of year with all kinds of ideas about how we can make changes, how we want this year to be different from last year. Today we're going to talk about letting go of the past, embracing the new, welcoming, and facilitating change in our lives. That's a timely theme, and actually Ann Goldin had an excellent show yesterday with Dr. Devon Edwards, and today I'm really pleased to be doing the show live here in the studio with Terry Wilson and my guest, Caitlin Stecker. Caitlin is well known to many of you in the Columbia Pacific region. She is a licensed clinical social worker. She is a certified internal family systems trainer. She lectures and travels throughout the nation, and she is also a psychodramatist. And good morning, Caitlin. Happy first day of 2014.
Yay. Happy New Year to you.
Yes.
Happy New Year. Yep. It's a brand new year.
Yes, it is. And so we, because of this idea of the new year and resolutions, one of my resolutions is to speak a bit more slowly.
I noticed that.
And to create some space in my life, in my mind, in my home, in my words, space for things to naturally arise instead of me rushing around and imposing things on them. And we impose a lot of rules on ourselves. What do we do to ourselves at the beginning of a new year, Caitlin?
Well, one of the things that, you know, the resolution idea for me that is really hard to hear at times is this idea that there's something wrong with us and that we have to fix it or change or improve. And, you know, inside, there are parts of us that are listening to that and are getting the message that there's something wrong with us. So I wonder about being able to take that great intention of wanting to, you know, help ourselves be more of who we are and work with that more on the sense of how can we really give a message of acceptance and love and true compassion for ourselves so that we'll thrive in that atmosphere. We will like a little sprout that's really loved and cared for. They say like the farmer that goes out and loves his little seeds and loves the little new shoots. They respond. They go toward the light. They want to grow. That's inherent. I think you were talking about, and you're going to say some more about that, but it's that sense that Carl Jung said that there's a natural gradient in our psyche, in our souls, toward wholeness. There's a force working that wants to become more of who we are. And so it's more about how do we cultivate that? How do we tend that? How do we give energy and life to that natural wish to become more of who we truly are?
Instead of beating ourselves up and saying, oh, this past year I said I was going to do the fitness program, or I said I was going to write the book, or I said I was going to do X, I didn't do it. Obviously, I've failed yet again. Okay, a new year. Now I'm going to, and you have a list, or maybe you just have one thing. I'm always interested in this idea of change coming organically from within versus change that we impose on ourselves from the outside world.
Yeah.
And both are valid because sometimes without a deadline, a piece wouldn't be written or some such thing like that. But this idea that if we nurture ourselves and care for ourselves and accept ourselves, then naturally positive changes, I guess, or you're saying to be more authentic to who we are will happen.
Yeah, just that coming into our wholeness. And, you know, I think the thing is our wholeness includes, again, what Jung would call the shadow, that there are aspects of us that we're not conscious of. And it doesn't mean that they're all dark. That means that there are actually capacities in us that we don't recognize, that we don't really know about ourselves fully. And sometimes other people know those things about us, but often even they might not know. And that that this idea that there are aspects of us that are wanting to come alive, they're wanting to come into our life. But when we're being bombarded with messages that there's something wrong with us and we need to fix ourselves, it's not an atmosphere in which that new life can grow. And the one thing, our model of the internal family systems talks about different types of protectors, aspects of us that take care of us through different strategies. And one of the types of protectors are managers. And it's a great term because it's exactly what they do, is that they try to manage. They try to manage our lives so that we are successful, or whatever you want to call it, that we were able to function. They also try to manage the feelings and reactions in us that they feel would not be accepted or wouldn't be comfortable for us or other people, that would overwhelm us. And so a lot of their strategies are about trying to make plans of how to do something, have a goal, and to put us on a diet and give us some ideas and some rules about how we're supposed to live. And we can get almost high on those kind of ideas of, I'm going to do this now. So like people get very excited on New Year's Day and often the first couple weeks about their new plan, their new goal. The difficulty is that often it's only one part of them that's creating that. And so there are other parts that aren't so keen about the idea.
That don't want to get up at 6 a.m. and go to the spin class or do whatever.
Yes.
So then you're saying that then those parts sabotage the part that says, I'm going to really commit to doing this in this new year.
Yep.
And then that's why, you know, I think what health club memberships jump up and then suddenly within a couple of months they drop off. So how does sustained change happen? How do we get on board with all the parts of ourselves so that we can make some positive changes for ourselves? Because not that there's something wrong.
No,
everyone
no, no.
is. We're all flawed. We're all wabi-sabi and perfectly perfect and perfectly imperfect. How do we then make changes which we think would be beneficial to ourselves?
Well, I love that you use the word sabotage, because that's so much in our culture and how we think about it, is that I sabotage myself. So now I'm going to have to try to find the saboteur and tie him up and throw him on a boat and send him somewhere, you know, because they're against us. But actually, they're not against us. They're really a part of us trying to express some need, some perspective, some aspect of us that needs tending and connecting. It's not often what we first want to take care of, because we want the goal and the new thing to happen. But to be able to turn around and really say, what's the obstacle for me? Or what is it that could be happening inside that says I don't want to do this? And it's not a saboteur if we could look at it as a part that's simply trying, as its expression, to get its needs met. But if we don't directly involve that part, yes, it will feel like it's sabotaging the other part's goals. But this is just an internal dilemma. One part wants one thing and another part wants another. Neither are good or bad.
Exactly. It's as though you have a captain of the ship, and the captain says, full steam ahead, we're going this direction. And the other person on the ship, it says, no, we've got to put the anchor down. We're going too fast. We need to slow down. Wait, we better just stop here for a bit.
Yep.
So, okay, so we have... Each of us has internal conflict about many things. I mean, there are, I suppose... Well, there obviously are people who say, I want to do X, and every part of them seems to agree, because then things seem to flow easily for them and they actually achieve whatever goal that is, whether it's external or internal goal, I don't know.
Well, I would say that, excuse me, if that happens over a long time, long-term sustained process, that yes, that person has taken into that process their whole system. But unfortunately, what more often happens, and most of us are familiar with, is that one part gets an idea, it gets going, and then, and literally kind of ties up everybody else that doesn't like it, but eventually they get loose and they will have their day. The diet will have its binge. That parts will express themselves in some way. And so often it's that feeling of, well, not feeling, but it's actually a neuroscience thing that we know. Bill W. was so brilliant because he said 90 meetings in 90 days and you had a chance for real sobriety. That was 1930 and he knew that. And now we're finding out that literally in the brain, if we can do something for 90 days in a row, it develops like a riverbed of choice in our brain. And so then it's more likely we can choose that. However, if we haven't tended the parts that are scared of that, or that's too much for, or it doesn't take into account their needs, then again, they will come to the surface and ask to be met in some way. And often it's by what we, again, call sabotaging our goals.
So then it seems to me that just beginning in some small way, which I know Anne talked about on her show yesterday, beginning with a very small idea of doing something instead of some grand sweeping thing, which is, I'm going to completely change my life. I'm going to do these 29 things on my list.
All right.
Just one small thing. And we talked earlier about this concept in Japan of Kaizen, K-A-I-Z-E-N, which is continuous incremental change for the better.
Mm.
So one, let's say if I say, and I've been listening to this this CD on in my car, Headspace, and it's a British monk who's talking about just take 10 minutes every day, mm-hmm. just in quiet, because then you'll have clarity.
Mm-hmm.
Without clarity, how do we know what we want to really do and what our goals are? And with so much information coming to us all the time from every direction, people seem confused about what they maybe really do want to do and what are their goals.
Right. Absolutely. Well, it's, excuse me, it's not easy sometimes to find out what, like, is our core wish or you know, core calling or whatever we want to call it. That, you know, it's like, what is the path for us? And I think what you're talking about is really, really important, just the being able to take a moment wherever it is to connect with oneself and to get quiet and to allow some of these voices inside, not that we're multiples or anything, but just that we do have different perspectives, different minds, you could say, that can then speak to us in the quiet, whereas they're not the ones that come out in the loud every day or the societal kind of goals that are in many ways imposed on us or we have to do to survive.
Yes, and that's one of my favorite quotes by the Sufi poet Rumi is, move from within, move from within. Don't let the outside world push you around. However, to move from within then requires us to stop and take time to be quiet and to say, what is moving inside me? What are the things I really need and want to do?
Yeah. I've just gone through a period where I'm really working with some very old beliefs about myself that... And it's interesting. It's like, you know, Nelson Mandela in his acceptance speech actually quoted Marianne Williamson, this other spiritual teacher, about this idea that it's not our weakness that scares us. It's our strength. It's our light. And that actually there are times when we're actually coming more into who we are. And that will challenge internal beliefs that we have about ourselves and our worth. And if we have parts that are holding a sense that we're not worthy or we're not enough, those will get activated by actually, say, at times meeting goals or having success in whatever ways that is, or being loved in a way that we haven't been in our life before. And it's confusing because it would seem like, oh, that's all so wonderful. But it actually stirs up the parts that don't feel that they deserve it or can really receive it, or it doesn't fit with their beliefs about themselves.
For those of you listening who have lists, it's not that the lists aren't wonderful. No. It's not that just even picking one thing isn't a good thing.
Yeah.
It's that it sounds like it's much more likely for really lasting change to happen if it is done in a loving way instead of beating yourself up about something. I mean, I do function best with a deadline, actually, if I have an article I'm writing or something. And I think sometimes we do need external things imposed upon us to make change. Mm-hmm. However, I think if there's something really wanting to happen in our lives, maybe it will happen. You know the quote, I don't know how you feel about this, Anais Nin, "And the day came when the risk to remain tight in a bud was more painful than the risk it took to blossom."
Yeah, it's beautiful. I think there is that. It's like an inner timing. And often, again, we have parts that are on their own timing, and it isn't that connected inside kind of timing. I really want to share this just about timing. It's so interesting to me because I want to acknowledge my dear friend, Dick Borrow, who just literally changed my life by helping me where I used to get so caught up about what was happening at midnight on New Year's Eve. And I mean, when I was younger, literally, I think I was quite something to try to be with at that time because I was so anxious. I had to be thinking the exact right thing and doing the exact right thing at midnight because that was going to set the tone for the entire year. And I was an anxious mess at midnight is what I was. And it was not pleasant. It wasn't fun, celebratory at all. But it was this whole thing that it was like I didn't believe I was okay. I had to do something to try to make myself okay to go into this new year. Well, he was able to say, well, no, that's not what we want to celebrate. We want to celebrate this brand new day. It's like got all possibilities. It's totally new. It's like a little baby's been born, and we have the images of that, of the new year. And I can tell you that that has changed my life to be able to say, oh, it's not like I've got to be perfect. I just have to be able to be open to this new possibility that's being offered me. And so I just have to thank Dick because it's helped me in all kind of different situations where this idea of what is change? Is it getting it perfect or is it being open to the possibility that I could actually be that?
I love that, Caitlin. That leads me to one thing I want to read here. But if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. Today, we're talking about change and about letting go of the past, embracing the new, how that does or doesn't happen in our lives. And my guest is Caitlin Stecker. She's a licensed clinical social worker, a psychodramatist, and an internal family systems counselor and trainer. And one of my ultimate favorite poems is from the little book called 101 Poems That Could Save Your Life. Mm. And this is a Japanese poem. And I just feel like being hopeful about the fact that be easy, be things will change. Somehow they will change. Anyway, here's the poem. I am completely different. I am completely different. Though I am wearing the same tie as yesterday, am as poor as yesterday, as good for nothing as yesterday. Today, I am completely different. Though I am wearing the same clothes, am as drunk as yesterday, living as clumsily as yesterday, nevertheless, today, I am completely different. Ah, I patiently close my eyes on all the grins and smirks, on all the twisted smiles and horse laughs, and glimpse then inside me one beautiful white butterfly fluttering towards tomorrow. And that's by Kubota Saburo.
Oh, that's beautiful. It's perfect, isn't it? For, you know, I look the same, but I'm different. And So made me change the poem that I was thinking about sharing.
All right.
Because I really, this whole sense of what's the atmosphere of change? And that poem says, it's when I accept myself and then I'm different.
Yes, and we're not worried about the outside world. We are aligned with who we authentically are. And that is perhaps the biggest challenge in the world today.
It it's so hard again. And a lot of it has to do with the sense again of the parts of us that carry this unworthiness. And very honestly, we come to that honestly through just the experience of being a child in the world, that it is hard. Children are powerless a lot of the time. And so when we're in that state, we often think that the only thing that we can do is to make ourselves better, and then things will be better, because otherwise we're literally powerless. And so to be able to have compassion for what that was like for us and all the different experiences that we had, and the message that we get and even give ourselves, that we could improve our life if we could improve ourselves. But actually, in many, many cases, for children, there's nothing they can do. And so to be able to go back and help that part of ourself to say, this was scary, this was hard, this was sad, all of that, you know, you experienced abandonment or neglect or whatever, or just that those times when somebody just didn't get you and what you were about, but that it wasn't that there was something wrong with you. And to give that message to that aspect of ourself can mean that all of that comes available to us that we were as a child.
So to love and accept ourselves as we are may be the most important thing we can do if we want to affect any kind of positive change in our world.
I really believe it could be the greatest resolution there is. And it would be a win-win for everybody.
And do you have a poem you want to
read? I do. I have this wonderful poem that I've shared over the years by Mary Oliver called The Wild Geese. One of the greatest lines there is that begins, "You do not have to be good. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting." Actually, this is my favorite line. "You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves." Just think about that. If we just let the soft animal of our body love what it loves, and that's how we directed our life. "Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over, announcing your place in the family of things."
That is such a powerful and beautiful poem.
Yeah.
Poetry helps me, certainly, remove myself from everyday cares and puts me in a different mental space. And there's another poem here that I think speaks to what you were saying from this, again, little collection of poems, 101 Poems That Could Save Your Life, which addresses what we've been talking about. "Love After Love. The time will come when, with elation, you will greet yourself arriving at your own door, in your own mirror, and each will smile at the other's welcome and say, 'Sit here, eat.' You will love again the stranger who was yourself. Give wine, give bread, give back your heart to itself, to the stranger who has loved you all your life, whom you ignored for another, who knows you by heart. Take down the love letters from the bookshelf, the photographs, the desperate notes. Peel your own image from the mirror. Sit, feast on your life." And that was by Derek Walcott. And again, acceptance allows for us to make positive changes much more than yelling and screaming and berating ourselves for things that we think we should or could have done. And certainly letting go of the past, forgiving the past. The past is gone. It has no power over us other than what we give it. And we only have about 5 minutes left, Caitlin. What other kinds of things would you like our listening audience to know on this brand new baby of a day?
Yes.
This brand new year.
Yeah. Oh, I was just thinking as I was listening to you and and seeing you there, just that it's like the idea of having a friend and being a friend to ourselves, being able to really... really be the one that's at our back, and that we believe in ourselves, that we give ourselves the benefit of the doubt. And when we're lucky enough to have friends, and I'm just feeling grateful for all of mine, that it's like literally we can do anything. And so to me, it's that thing too, people can say, well, I don't have any. And then I would say, find someone to be a friend to. Find someone that you believe in, that you see the light in, and be a good friend to them. And they will often become your good friend. And if you wait to be loved, often, you know, we can wait a long time. But if we go out and love, then love comes to us and we're surrounded by it. And so we're not powerless. Now in our lives, we really can make change and we can create the life we want.
I think that is a beautiful idea for people to think about, that as we go into this new year full of hopes, expectations, and dreams, and all of us would like things to perhaps be different than they were in this last year, becoming our own best friend and sitting with ourselves in some silence and giving ourselves some space for nurturing and for really realizing what is it that wants to come forth may be the best gift we can give ourselves in this year. I think you brought up a really important thing, Caitlin. Thank you so much for being here today, for all the good work that you do in the community, and for being willing to be vulnerable. That's another thing I think that we think in this culture we have to always be powerful and strong and know everything. No, we're just doing the best we can. Maybe a little sense of humor about it all. We're just wabi-sabi again, imperfectly perfect, just doing the best we can, and have a sense of humor about it too is really going to be helpful, I think.
Absolutely. And thank you for all the light and the joy that you bring, and especially just with this program, all the times when you have supported people and given them a sense that they can do it and made a difference in our lives in this place.
Thank you. It takes all of us, and we can all do our little part. Every single one of us is important and necessary in this world.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Caitlin. Thank you. And Terry Wilson.
Happy New Year, sweetie.
Happy New Year, Terry. Thanks so much for everything you do all the time.
Absolutely.
And I want to extend my appreciation to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Great banjo, great person, and great music. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. With gratitude, focus on the good things in your life. There are always going to be things that aren't going as you wish or expect or hope they would. However, if you focus on the things that are working in your lives, then you'll start feeling good, feeling better, and then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, the only one, for doing the best you can, and for being here now. In this moment, the only moment which exists on the amazing planet we call Earth.